Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
You need a team of people. How do I find these people? You have to get the people you can. You're not going to get four rock stars. If you're lucky, you're going to get one. And then you're going to get three people that you're going to probably fire. And so you need to make the best with what you have. Learn what works and what doesn't work. I don't care how good anybody is at any business in this world. If you don't like dealing with them, not worth it.
It's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Shit, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. This is Josh McCallan. We will have the world famous Eric Cabral here as well. But before we bring on anyone else, I want to thank you, the listeners, for joining us and investing in your education. This is really an audio mastermind. Everybody's calling it that on the internet these days. So we are here to gather the wisdom of all of our guests, our hosts, and you. If you're on the other side of this microphone, feel free to just chime in, ask questions. We might not hear you, but you're masterminding through the ether with us, buddy. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's true. Eric, is that true?
I think it's true. I mean, come on.
Okay, well, there you go.
You say it and it's true. Come on.
It's true. So we want everybody to actively, proactively listen, engage, and wait until you meet this guest today. He's actually a really good friend of Eric's, and Eric lets me get to know his cool friends. This is Alex Felice, a world-famous television producer for Bigger Pockets and their YouTube show. It's great to have you here, Alex.
Thank you very much to be here. I'm very excited. Always good to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, brother. Always good to see you and your pink shirt, which is part of your branding, isn't it?
I don't wear this pink shirt unless I'm on camera.
Wait a second. I just watched your show, Meet the Investors on Bigger Pockets YouTube. You were not wearing that pink shirt there, brother. So not every, there was a gray shirt with the Bigger Pockets logo on. Is that a fair statement?
That gray shirt is the only Bigger Pockets shirt in existence that has a pink logo, though.
Yes.
What? I'm going to have to go see that.
Very true.
I know what I'm doing.
You definitely stood out at the Bigger Pockets conference where we met, right? Because you had that shirt on the entire time. Every time I saw you in the distance, I was like, who's that guy with a Bigger Pockets pink shirt on? And then it definitely was like the unicorn moment for me. And I just want to share something that happened when we locked eyes across the, remember, in the basement of the venue, which was this massive hotel at the Grand Ole Opry, where we had thousands of Bigger Pockets fans and tribe there. Literally, Alex and I make eye contact probably 100 feet away, and we start moving towards each other. And at almost at the same time, we both say, I've been told that we need to talk. Right? You're like, well, same thing. Somebody told me I got to talk to you. So yeah, it was like magic ever since. But yeah, we're happy to have you on, brother. We got a lot of story to uncover because you are an absolute titan when it comes to multimedia, content creation, real estate investing. So yeah, bring it, brother. What made Alex Felice the superhero that he is today, brother?
I don't know about superhero. I got into multifamily because I got sick of single family. I got into single family because I got sick of having a W-2 job that I hated. Like the story is, I think, not only is it it's cliche at this point, right? People go, I want to buy cash flow and real estate because I want to have financial freedom. I want to live on my terms. And so I went off and figured I'd buy a couple houses. My plan was 10 houses in 10 years. I bought 8 single family homes in 3 years and decided it was too easy. I bought a 24 unit in 2019. And last December, a month and a half ago, I closed on a 52 unit syndication.
Congratulations. And you even threw the syndication fanciness in there.
Yeah.
At some point, feel free to tell us a little more about these deals, or maybe now.
Yeah.
Where are they? What do they cost? How do you finance them? How much cash do you need? And, you know, that kind of cool stuff we would love to know.
Yeah, the first one was a 24 unit, little rough. It was run by a guy, a one single dude that was you know, handling everything. It was a little bit older property. It's single bedrooms. It's not a, it's a great property for me to go from like $100,000 properties to like, hey, I'm going to buy this $1 million property. I'm going to raise some money, but not a lot. I'm going to do a joint venture so that the legality isn't that complex. And we'll just kind of, you know, see if we can do it and get some paid education. So it was like pulling teeth for me to raise $280,000 the first time, right? It's just, why would anybody take a shot in your first one kind of thing, right? And so people know me because I do a lot of, I'm very loud on the internet. If you can't tell, I'm very loud on the internet. And
well, you're in their ears right now as they drive in their fancy Teslas, like my friend Eric Cabral, who test drove a Tesla, which is similar to driving a Tesla. But Eric, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Alex. You're in their ears and they're like following your story and they can't even see your pink shirt, which, by the way, is very fancy. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to say, yeah, I love your passion online. So sorry to go interrupt you.
That's okay. Go ahead. No, but I have that. I don't know what, I don't notice it, but other people notice it. I'm sticky to people. So I got this $1 million property that was June 2019. And I said, 2020, I'm going to go buy another one. Took a few months, got that one stabilized off pretty good. Run, you know, definitely NOI is increasing. We come across a 52 unit in Fayetteville. They're both in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is where I'm kind of based out of. I was looking for a 50 unit, 3 to 4 million, 6 to 7 cap, market below market rents. Found exactly that, hanging out with our good friend, Matt Faircloth in Winston-Salem. I recorded a video. Woo! I recorded a video for his capital raise when he bought
we met our quota. Yeah. With the Faircloth drops.
We have to say it every show. Obligatory. The guy's such a great guy.
So he invited me out. We did a little tradesies. He introduced me to some people and taught me a lot about the deal. 300 unit in Winston-Salem. And then I gave him some video production. Good trade. I met a broker there. They found this off-market deal. Well, you know, everything's off-market these days. And the broker is off market. It took us a little while to work on it because it was far out of my comfort zone, right? It was over three times the price. We had to do the syndication. So one of the things I did right that I recommend to everybody is if you're going alone at this or with only maybe one or two partners, like tag somebody in that knows how to do it. Give them some of the money and get it done. You got a lifelong journey of buying these things. You don't have to, you know, grind through the first one or two, just get help. That's the mistake I made in the first one. The second one, I tagged somebody in, went smooth. I raised 1.4. I think I probably raised 1.2 million just myself. My partners brought another 200, maybe 250 grand somewhere in there. And it was actually easier for me to raise that than it was the 280.
Oh, wow.
And I'll say some of it is because I had experience. Some of it is because I had conversations with people who may invest much earlier. That was a big part of it. Third was the deal was better. That makes it easier. you know, have a good deal that you believe in. It's and finding the money becomes a lot easier.
You know, I mean, Eric is great at, there are probably a lot of things you want to unpack, Eric, but before we get go too far, I want to just say, it's interesting to find a person like you. You're clearly, like Eric, a phenomenal creative. And I love how you're just dropping this financial freedom vision. You, by the way, I loved how you explained it right at the beginning of the show, but you have had some massive wins already. 8 single family properties in 3 years, and then you jumped up to a 24, and now you're at a 50 plus, and you've syndicated. That's a lot of business successes. So let's go back to the single houses, and then let's just kind of dive in how you were able to generate so much success. The single houses, how did you finance those? You know, because we haven't talked about raising money until now. What did you do to get money to buy those?
In 2011, I was 40 grand in debt. No assets. I had a cheap little condo that wasn't really doing much for me. I ended up going to school for finance. I graduated in 2013 with a bachelor's. So I was learning about money. I lived just frugally, you know, saving $400 or $500 a month. So from 2011 and then 2016, that's 5 years of that savings going, you know, people think I go fast. I'm like, no, I went the slow way because I didn't want to use debt. So $70,000, I put my life savings into one property. It appraised at 100 after we got done. I pulled my 70 grand out and I was like, well, let's just do that exact same thing 8 times. So it's not like it's not easy to come up with 70 grand. I know that that's not an easy number to come up with, but anybody with 5 years can do it.
And that's the famous Burr strategy. So buy it, rehab it, rent it, refinance it and repeat it. So you did that. You're Mr. Burr now. You did the Burr. So did Eric.
I did it 8 times. I did it. Most of them, I was long distance because I had moved to Las Vegas for 6 of them. And then, well, you know, Fannie Mae will only let you get 10 mortgages. So that model doesn't work so well with commercial mortgages. A 5-year balloon on a single family home with a 20-year amortization and a higher rate on a property that only cash flows $200 a month, you start to get whacked. Profitability gets whacked real quick. And then now you have that balloon problem. So I looked at it and I said, I don't want to force this. Let's just, the universe is telling me to go bigger. The universe is saying this thing only works till 10. So I was done at 10. I had 8 plus my primary mortgage out in Las Vegas. I was like, I can do this one more, or I can just start moving to the next thing now. So in 2019.
Yeah, I love that strategy.
Yeah. I mean, people say I went fast, but I look at it 16. I bought one, 17. I bought 3, 18. I bought 2 or 3, 19. I bought a single, and the 24. I didn't do anything in 20 except buy this one deal, this 52 unit.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And do you have everything still, or have you sold some of them?
I sold nothing. In 2020, I flipped 2 homes. That's how, because I quit my job in 2019. I'm never going back to work for anybody else ever again.
So you've only flipped houses. You've never sold your investment houses.
Nope.
Matter of fact, you alluded before we got on the mic that you might sell the 24 unit, and you think it's going to sell higher than your projections.
I think it's going to sell for what I projected it to sell 3 more years from now.
Oh, that's amazing. That's called ridiculously increasing your IRR, because IRR, usually internal rate of return, plans you out for multiple years. So if you can squeeze the years closer but get the same number, it should be astronomical for you.
It's going to be pretty good for a deal that I learned how to do this on, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Where did Bigger Pockets fit into this? Because now you're working with them on projects in the creative space, building. I love the show, by the way, Meet the Investors. What a great idea, because I love to meet more Bigger Pockets. Eric and I go to meetups. We're always around the Bigger Pockets community. But this show is great. So where do they fit into your story?
Yeah. So let's go back again. 2013, I'm in school for finance. I'm selling cars, bro. And I hate it.
Oh, you do?
It's a tough business. It's a good business for everybody to learn, because it's like, dude, you're gonna toughen up. You got to learn how to negotiate. You got to learn how to deal with a lot of conflict. You got to learn how to charm people from like, hey, I hate the broker, the dealer. And now you know, they love you in an hour and a half. It's a good lesson to learn, but it's a terrible career. So I was like, I got to get out of this. So I mean, I'm podcasting on the way to college. And I actually learned more from the Bigger Pockets podcast about how to make money in business than I did going to college. I learned more in the commute than actually in school. And so I was like, man, you know what? So to your point, what the Bigger Pockets podcast to me did wasn't teach me how to do real estate. It taught me that it was possible for some knucklehead average like me.
You know what? That's kind of one of our core visions for all of you listeners too, is part of the capital hacking story is that it is available to you as well. Whoever you are, wherever you are, if you can see the power in your human capital right now and believe like Alex did, you know what you know from listening to the show, other than the stifling wit of Eric Cabral, the rest of this is just pure normalness. Like, we're just being like the real deal here in front of all of you guys. We're naked. 2 of us are naked right now. Okay. And we're just
figuratively,
you know, he's talking this about is the sexiest real show.
I just like to keep it on the real. Yeah. Hilarious. For me, that's witty. That's funny. But no, here's my point. You can do it, guys. You can do it. As a matter of fact, one of our dreams, Eric, early on, and Robert Kiyosaki got to be on the show. He was begging us, Alex. He was begging to get on the damn show.
We'll get you on the schedule.
All right. We're like, not right now. Episode 25, we'll do it, okay? And so he begged us. We let Alex, Robert Kiyosaki on, which is the guy from Rich Dad Poor Dad. And he and I talked all about helping the people that work with us in our restaurants and stuff. Like, how can we convince them that they can be part of the financial freedom movement too? And it always usually starts with that first house. Using that first FHA mortgage where you don't have to come up with much cashish. You get something, and then you do need to work after that, but you need to hustle. But most people in this world can do the first step. They can probably buy that first one. And if they house hack it with, anyway, I'm preaching from the little pulpit I'm on right here, and I'm naked, so it's very embarrassing. No, but Alex, I love the fact that you portrayed what we're saying. Listening to a podcast, well, a very well done one though, by the way, Brandon and Josh back then, really well done. But that opened your mind. So first you had to know you had the power. Thank God for that.
People have so much more power than they realize. So unbelievably much more power than they realize. And I think you know, podcasts like we have today really make, they really bring that right to your ears on your schedule. And it's, it could never be more convenient than it is right now. Well, it can probably be in the future, but it has never been before now more convenient to hear people that are like, I was a dude who never thought I could get a bachelor's, never thought I could own a house, right? Never thought I could do any of these things. And now I constantly, now I've gone so far and so fast, like you said, every time I make a plan, I'm like, I know I'm undercutting myself. So people, if you can get somebody, a lot of it's your social circle. And so podcasts let you change your social circle. You're like, these are regular people. A lot of them live in my city. A lot of them live in my area. They're people I can get on social media and talk to. Like, you can message me. You can talk to Eric. He's not hard to get a hold of, you know?
For you.
He's not that busy. He's not that busy, right? You can.
Oh, God. I love it.
I just mean, like you said, regular people will make time for somebody who's like, hey, look, I'm just getting started out. Can I ask you this one question? Can I start to work to get in your social circle, right? Something like that. And people are very happy to help almost universally. And so once you have these resources and you're like, dude, people will help me. I know I can do it. I have these social circles. Sky's the limit.
I need to point something out here, Alex, about you and your personality and everything you do and how you do it, that I want the listeners to really sort of gain some insight on what works, definitely works. So Alex leads with value. And he leads with servitude and humility. And the thing that I noticed right away about Alex when I met him was he never asked me for a thing. And he said, how can I help you, your business, what you're doing? What are your goals? And I was like, man, who is this guy? And then he said, I'm going to come to your event and I'm going to drive in from North Carolina to Jersey. And then he was texting me the whole way. He was, with his selfies.
Safely. Because he was driving a Tesla, probably, which means he wasn't even.
But he was checking in along the way to let us know that he was going to be there on time. And he showed up with his camera. I didn't ask him for any of this. He showed up. And not only was he was a client, basically. He was a paid client that came to our event. But he worked. He worked during the event and I didn't know what he was doing exactly. I mean, I had a hint because I'd seen him do it before, but he didn't promise anything. And then, I don't know, a week later, he produced this amazing story online. You know, we can call it a blog, but it's more than that because it's his heart and soul that's poured into it with visuals and his words. And he did that all for no pay, just said, hey, here I am. Here's my strength. I understand what I'm great at. And then that was part of our conversations back in Nashville. You were like, hey, Eric, I have a podcast. Can I pick your brain about it? And we started talking and we were like, I don't know if you arrived there before I did, but at some point we were like, why aren't you doing more video? I mean, you're such a personality. You've got so much energy. You're dashingly handsome. Why aren't you doing video versus audio? And when we were having those conversations, it totally made sense because now look at you, you're leaning heavy into the bigger pocket space by doing exactly everything I said, leading with value and being a part of their team now, which is absolutely amazing. So kudos to you for everything you've built through hard work, right? And humility and letting people know, hey, I'm here to serve you no matter what it takes. And thank you for your service, by the way. We didn't even mention that on the show that you used to jump out of planes for the US Army. So appreciate you for that.
True that. Thank you. Yeah. I do like to, you know, I remember so many people start this business, this industry, finance, they start off squeezed by life. You know, they don't realize that they're being squeezed until they're sometimes 30, sometimes older. And they're like, man, I'm going to live another 60 years. I better get this tight before, how do I say it? So I remembered what it was like to be squeezed. And then now I kind of went through this journey where, you know, I live really light. I don't need that much. Right? You'd be surprised how cheap you can get a bunch of pink t-shirts on Amazon, right? I have low cost of living. And so back to bigger pockets, right? Like,
okay. And the irony is, for those who are not watching on video, he's actually buck naked. He's one of the two of us. So the pink shirt is just a metaphor for his chest. Okay. It's just hilarious. This guy,
we don't know what's going on from the waist down, by the way.
Okay. So look, my life got turned around when I found, you know, these real estate communities and these conferences and these people that are willing to help. And then my life changed. And then I feel this overwhelming responsibility to be like, dude, everybody taught me this for free, right? You guys don't charge to listen to the podcast. The information that you provide is free. And then it changes people's lives. And then I feel like there's a deep responsibility to just turn around and be like, look, I'm not going to charge you for a course. I just learned how to do this. But here's what I know for free. Here's how maybe you can get started, because this has been unbelievably valuable to me. And so last year, I've been doing, as Eric said, I've been doing these photo blogs for a long time. I am the official photographer for BPCon now, after I did it for them.
Whoa.
They are. Good.
BPCon is Bigger Pockets Conference. Yeah.
If it ever happens. Yeah. If things ever come back. But I had this knack for doing these blogs, and somebody will do a, you know, review of a maybe PodMax or a review of a conference, and they'll post 20 pictures. And I post 160 photos, high res, and a lot of story to go with them. There's nothing else on the internet like it. I promise you. Probably nobody else would bother to read it.
Everybody's hungry to find out how to see your photographic blogs.
Brokeisachoice.com. Brokeisachoice.com. Brokeisachoice.com.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Brokeisachoice.com.
Oh, that's like carsforkids.com.
That's such a powerful statement too, by the way. We could dive into that after your story here. Yeah.
Well, so when it came time to do kind of take it from just photos and start doing video, I went to some of my local friends and I said, I'm gonna put you guys on video. They're not actors. I said, I'm gonna get you to feel comfortable on camera. I'm gonna film it. I'm gonna edit it. And then I'm gonna put it all together in a story. And the idea wasn't to teach people how to buy real estate. The idea was that regular people can buy real estate. And so I tried to do the same thing that you guys speak about, which is make these things possible, relatable. Like, you know, sometimes I have some of my friends on there. I'm like, these guys are knuckleheads and they're buying profitable real estate. I know other people can do it. And so.
Oh, it's so true. So true.
Look, I'm not that good. You call me successful. I'm like, I just work at it a little bit every day. And you know, you believe in the process. And so when I had the opportunity to do to use my creative hobby and my talents and give back, bro, no brainer.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallan. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Guys, this is Josh here. Melanie and I have something important to share. A little while ago, we learned a big life-changing truth, and that is that you need to have control over your own capital. It was actually the cash flow ninja, MC Laubscher, who showed us, our own family, how to set up our own banking system. I know, it's hard to understand. So what MC did is he put together a webinar that will change your life like it changed Melanie and mine. So through the Infinite Banking System, you can create and control your own banking system to leverage your own capital to grow your own business, supercharge your investments. In this free webinar, MC will share how to set up your own banking system. The website is incredibly easy. It's yourownbankingsystem.com. Yourownbankingsystem.com.
Hey, this is Mark Asquith from Rebel Base Media, and you are listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric.
I wanted to jump into like some of the challenges that you may have had when you were managing properties, you were buying properties, but you were not close to them, right? I mean, how did that all work for you? What were some of the challenges and lessons learned during that time?
You need a team of people on the ground. You have to. And that's a podcast in and of itself. As I'm sure you know, you need a team of people. And people go, well, how do I find these people? Like, you have to get the people you can manage. You're not going to get four rock stars. It's not going to work that way. If you're lucky, you're going to get one, and then you're going to get three people that you're going to probably fire. And so you need to make the best with what you have, learn what works and what doesn't work, and either iterate with people and say, hey, look, last time we did this deal, this was ugly. We need to get better. We need to do this better. And if that's receptive, you can move forward. If people are like, yeah, if you can tell it's not going to go with somebody, it's like, get the next one. Get somebody that works well with you. You have to get people that you like working with, because I don't care how good anybody is at any business in this world. If you don't like dealing with them, ugh, not worth it. At least not to me. I don't care if you're the best anything. If you're miserable to be around or not, if I can't communicate with you, if I and you and I just can't communicate well together, there's no business there. So I went through people. I had some good people. I had some bad people. When things weren't working out, I got new people. My contractor ended up becoming my partner because he was amazing.
Yeah, good choice, because he had already proven himself. Now, there's everybody who's listening now is like, man, you know, I was with this guy a few minutes ago. I understand he's a real guy, military, so it shows me salt of the earth, kind of, you know, earned everything he's got. But that whole comment about, well, he became my partner because he was my
contractor named McKim is my partner. On the surface, that sounds like so smart. But there is like a giant jump from you saying that statement and me knowing how to have that conversation with that person.
Let me explain what I mean by partner.
What do you mean by partner? Okay, so I thought you meant like partner, but do you mean something different than partner?
In October, we did our first, we invested in the first property together. That was the 52 unit. Before that, you know, talk about adding value, right? So people go, how do you find a good contractor? You know, I tell you, if you want to find a good contractor, send them so much business that they can barely work on your stuff. Send them business, get them paid. If you're only doing one job, you can only pay them once from you, but you can pay him 10 times from referrals. And so I sent this guy, he was a brand new contractor, and his wife did the property management, and they had like 40 contracts. And within like the end of 3 years, they had 300. Cause I went on the internet and I'm like, that guy's amazing every day. And so I just added so much value. And then next thing you know, he's like, hey, I helped him buy an office building last year. That's where I work now. So I don't get paid for referrals. I don't take any money from that. I make him money. And so when I say partner, I mean, one of my closest friends that I work next to every day. We only technically have one deal together.
Got it. Well, no, that's great. I appreciate you parsing through that because that's a good concept. But it became, first of all, you can use the partner loosely, but here you actually ended up getting into a financial partnership with the one deal. So that's a cool, you know what I think also came through in your story there for us listeners? Is the idea that real estate is so different. So for those of us who are driving around and you're thinking, well, this show sometimes talks about buying businesses. Sometimes it talks about really specialized industries and strategies to protect your family and your wealth. But real estate of everything is so abundance mindset, Eric, right? I mean, at least the people we choose to be around. And Bigger Pockets is so paramount in that too, where they really do, everyone does seem to be collaborative or willing to help each other. And I mean, you just echo that in everything you're saying. You're like, I helped that guy find more business. I helped this. I did the social media thing. I did that. This is a type of tribe. I don't know if it's unique to Bigger Pockets or if it somehow permeates real estates, but it is a wonderful vibe to be around, right, Eric?
Yeah, I think the Bigger Pockets community sort of shifted the real estate investing community upside down. Like, I think before us stepping into it, it was a very run to the back of the room type of community that like, hey, I've got a lot of knowledge that I'll unlock for you for a price, you know? And now Bigger Pockets was like, screw that. It's all free. It's all available. And the community came and it grew. And then we created an entire generation of investors that were abundance mindset. So without using the word abundance, Alex, if you could choose or select one word that describes what helped you to build and also raise $1.3 million in capital, what word would that be?
I don't know if this is the right word, but this is the word that drives me through all of this is self-responsibility.
I love how he threw the hyphen in there so you could get the one word, but a much longer one. So sophisticated and strategic.
He knows how to break the rules.
And he's naked. He's actually naked and he's still thinking this clearly. By the way, I'm not against him being naked. It's his thing. It's a podcast.
It's warm where he is. Who knows?
No, but my point is that was a great. So say it one more time so I messed up your mojo bad.
It was on the spot too. So self-responsibility, right? Self-responsibility. And so the idea is I can build the life I want, but I have to do it, right? And it's like, I don't know. I'm going to explain this badly. So I start with if my success is... My successes are generally attributed to other people helping me out. And I say, hey, look, I'm gonna go get this other person. And when I fail, I try to take that self-responsibility. And so the idea is, it's kind of like the put your mask on before you save the person next to you kind of thing. It's like, look, if I can do this, I can take all my friends with me. So the idea when I started was, what I really wanna do is not have to work. And if I wanna go to Germany on a Tuesday, I can go, but I don't wanna go alone. So I need to make my other friends rich too, so we can hang out.
So good.
So therein lies your podcast, right? What's the name of your podcast?
When Eric and I spoke, I was doing my own. I canceled that podcast.
Are you now with?
David Perret is from Military to Millionaire. Yeah.
Okay, so that podcast is what I was picturing in my head. Sorry.
Yeah.
David Perret was on this show, episode blah, blah, blah. I love how on Bigger Pockets, they always know exactly every episode number. They're so freaking awesome. They have like a lockjaw memory. For me, David Perret, check out episode blah, 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 and then you'll enjoy it, okay? If you didn't hear that, you probably are driving too quickly. But here's the point. Alex,
David Prey is pretty cool because he named that podcast that you now are part of Military to Millionaire, right?
Episode 64, by the way. 64, Capital Hacking.
I was actually going to say episode 63. Is that hilarious? I was
impressive.
Just out of the back of my cranium. So that's your podcast, and I love the military movement towards financial independence. I ironically was on the phone with Phil Capron today. I'm sure you guys know him. He's a fun dude, and he's working hard on his mission first capital and fundraising. So, yeah, I'm so happy to see the military, the families that I've met that are in this circle are taking it really seriously and getting to work.
They need to, because the military, myself highly included, you know, especially that 18 to 21, that first tour, generally, you know, it's the first time these guys lived on their own. It's the first time they got a little bit of cash. They got some autonomy. They got really no parents around to tell them not to do the stupid thing. And they have guaranteed income. So they all waste all the money on booze and Mustangs.
I was going to say pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Damn, Mustangs.
You know, so, and so it's a real problem. It's like a really bad cliche joke in our little community. You know, guys get an 18% loan on a Mustang or an F-150 or something. And then they're stuck in that cycle for sometimes their entire military career. So we've been trying to do our little part about, hey, look, you could be 20 years ahead if you don't make that mistake than your peers. Yeah.
Were you able to take advantage of the VA loan?
I did the first house in 2010. I bought a condo. Let me tell you something, man, about real estate. People, they don't end up buying
Tell us something, man. You got to tell us something, man.
They don't, so many people don't buy their first deal because they're afraid about buying a bad deal. And I'm like, your first deal is going to be your bad deal. You're bad at it. Why would you be good at it? Why would you be good at something?
That was our motivational line for this week. Cut. We're going to put that at the beginning. Why do you think your first deal is going to be bad? Because you're bad at it.
Why would you be good at something that you do on your first shot, right? So my first deal, I'm the only idiot in America that bought a house at the bottom of the market in 2010, and then that property has since gone down in value.
Why? Crack addicts move in or what?
No, I bought a condo that was a low-cost condo, and I'm in a town that doesn't really appreciate, and the condos, you have sprawl, so they build new condos for the same price. And so these are all things that are obvious to me now, but in 2010, I bought that little condo, and then it wasn't till 4 years later that I bought that was the VA loan. It wasn't until 4 years later that I bought a foreclosure that I moved in and used FHA. So I had a long education between those two times.
You know, this has been a power-packed episode, but as we come to the end here, I want to make sure we ask you, like, what's the most salient thing you want people in the military or any of your listeners, like, what's their core thing you want them to take away from the work you guys are doing on the show and all the work you're doing on video?
Who you hang around with will define you.
Wow. That's a common thread, Eric, you and I and all the communities we're around, is we do say that a lot, guys. So if you're driving around and not in your Tesla, guys, we're not joking. And that's why this is called an audio mastermind. I mean, you're here, man. You're on this team, Jenny. You're on this team, Billy Bob. You're on this team, Maxwell. All of you. I just called you out on the show. You're on the team, Elliot.
Elliot.
Why those names? Why those?
I like to keep those. Those are some of my four friends that told me they listened to the show regularly, and I wanted to make sure I thanked them. No, my point is, you're part of this, Elliot. And by the way, that should be a line in the movie. You're part of this, Elliot. You're part of this. No, guys, if you're not following where I'm taking the show, it's because you're sane. And this is insane where I'm going with it. But no, yeah, the whole point is get around the people that are going where you want to be or are where you want to be and add value. I mean, that's the salient part of the show, right? I mean, Alex?
Yeah, and for people that are, I find there's a disconnect in people that are younger than me and then my age, because I grew up without the internet. And so I think sometimes people who are, I'm 37, I think people are my age and around there don't realize how powerful this little cell phone really is. I mean, you can do Instagram and you can do, you know, screwing around on the phone doing silly stuff, but you can talk to people directly that are, you know, knowledge forefronts of an entire industry if you get you know, if you can get close to their little circle, or you can get pretty damn close. You know, guys like Matt Faircloth, who are way ahead of me in real estate, I'm friends with now just because you can Facebook message him. And anybody can do it.
Yeah, that's so smart about you. But like Eric's point at the beginning, though, Alex, is you're a rare bird. And I don't mean that because you're not wearing clothes. I just mean you're a rare bird.
Alex is like, why does this keep going there? I'm wearing clothes.
Are you hinting at something?
Do not take off your clothes. No, you're a rare bird because at the beginning of this episode, Alex, you were complimented by Eric because everything you did for Eric was ahead of the curve on your relationship. You were there adding the value in a very creative way, by the way. Here he is running PodMax, which is an incredible one-day event for those who are on podcasts or are getting on podcasts to share their story. And you're photojournalizing it and marketing it for him. Of course he's grateful for that. You know, it's not like you just said, hey, I'm here to help take out the trash, which also is nice. But it's not as impactful. So you are a rare bird that way, and I'll never think of you any other way.
Everybody, same thing. Everybody has a cell phone with a camera on it. I mean, you can podcast, you can do photography, you can do blogging, you can do video. You can find your way to add value to people through media, and not everybody wants to do it or can do it. Like, I just found my little way.
Well, you love to do it, right? And you knew that it was a superpower of yours. So you're like, hey, I'm just going to give them my powers and let them use it. And that's the power in that. But I wanted to sort of, something popped in my mind where you guys were talking about, you know, just making sure you're around the right people. One of the best quotes that I heard, I think Steve Harvey said, if you hang around the barbershop enough, you're bound to get a haircut. Right? So if you hang around the right people, they're going to rub off on you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical hangout. We're talking about, like Josh is saying, it's an audible experience. It's an audible mastermind. You know, Tony Robbins, I don't know him personally. I'd never been in the same room with him, but you know, he's a mentor of mine. I listen to him daily. So things like that, you gotta put the right food in your mental factory. We take care of our bodies, we eat the right stuff, but we don't put the right stuff in our minds. And that's critical. Each and every day, if you wake up, what are you doing? Are you checking emails? And are you tending to other people's tasks for you, or are you taking care of yourself? Are you feeding your mental factory with positive things for the day? So I just want to throw that out there for anyone who is struggling, getting into those habits and rituals that set you up for success. So many things, and it's not a secret. We talk about it on this show, and you've heard it on many other shows, but it's kind of pretty simple. It's like Alex said, take care of yourself and hold yourself accountable.
It's a pleasure to have you here, buddy. I just want to see what's the best way our audience can stay in touch with you, Alex.
You can go to my website, brokersofchoice.com. You can email me there, or I'm on Facebook, bro. I'm on Facebook 10 times a day posting ridiculous nonsense. And I love to talk to people. So,
Which would be Alex Felice, F-E-L-I-C-I-F-I-C-E.
Yeah, on Facebook.
But Broke is a Choice. Brokeisachoice.com. Very, very cool. Can't wait to visit that website. It's going to be cool to have you back on, though, brother, because you are a rock star. We appreciate getting to know you better.
Before we let Alex go, I want to share something hilarious. And this has never happened in all of my podcasting days, hosting hundreds and hundreds of episodes with Josh and other shows. Listen to this, what he texted me a few days ago or weeks ago. He says, hey, I heard your failing, pathetic, boring podcast needs a jolt of excitement. And you've become so desperate as to ask me to be a guest. I humbly accept your offer. How hilarious is that? That is a pitch to get on the show. And if that isn't one that stands out, right? I mean, granted, he knows me and we're friends, but it's kind of funny because it's the opposite, right? It grabbed my attention. And I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And I was literally on a phone with a partner and I read it out loud to him. And he was like, "What? Who is this guy?" Like,
Hang on. That's not what happened, though. Actually.
Oh, okay. What's your version? I literally read what happened, though.
I know he read it.
No. But listen. But Nathan invited me.
Gotcha.
And then I texted you, and I said, "Oh, you guys, you done messed up."
Hey, there you go, everyone listening. That's how you get on these shows, and we would love to have you reach out to us if you are just as funny as Alex. You can get on the show again. We've got to sign off because this guy is brokeisachoice.com. Did I say that right, Alex?
You did.
Brokeisachoice.com is waiting me. I'm like already typing it in. Have a great afternoon, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Wow. You made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility. Woo!